Ever wonder the true power of sports? Well, you come to the right place. Welcome to the Sports for Social Impact podcast. I'm David Thibodeau, and I believe that by exploring the intersection between sport and society, we can better leverage the sport industry for maximum impact. We explore what sport's true power is to understand the impacts on and the impacts of sports on society. Join me as we learn how sports can influence important policy areas such as the environment, transportation, education, and so much more. Brett Harrison is an experienced endurance athlete, coach, and event organizer. He's coached numerous runners to personal records, a U.S. cross-country team to the state final, and loads of people from couch to the 5K. Brett has lived in Tanzania since 2009, working in community development with a focus on increasing food security among rural people. Brett started Red Knot Racing Company in 2012 in order to fund agricultural development work. In 2019, Brett registered the nonprofit organization Red Knot Development to scale his existing community development work while expanding its scope to include sports development and wildlife conservation. Brett's affinity for mountain biking and trail running, combined with their love for Tanzania, left them no choice but to organize world-class endurance events right there. They work hard to ensure that their courses are unique and challenging with the perfect combination of varied terrain and spectacular scenery. Red Knot Racing firmly believes that the solutions to the world's problems lie in sacrificing ourselves in order to improve life for others. They founded Red Knot to make the world a better place, and they stand by that commitment. A minimum of 2% of their total revenue supports community development work in Tanzania. But it's not just money that they contribute. Their staff personally assists farmers and youth to navigate the hardships that they encounter. They believe the power to motivate others towards lasting change comes from relationships. The way forward is walking alongside people, not in front of them. I think that this mantra really comes through when Brett's talking and, you know, talking about his organization and the work that they're doing. I think it, you know, it really does show that it's a partnership and it's, you know, relationship building that is really important to them to further their impact. So I really enjoyed this conversation with Brett about the work that Red Knot is doing in Tanzania. And I think it's encouraging to hear from more of these sport for development organizations that are using more of a social business or enterprise model to support the development work rather than just relying on grants and funding, which can, you know, come and go a lot more easily than we would hope. So Brett was joining from Tanzania, so there were some small issues with the audio, but nonetheless, it was a great conversation. And I really hope that everybody listening enjoys it and learns something from Brett and his experiences with Red Knot Racing in Tanzania. Welcome today to Brett Harrison, who is the founder and director of Red Knot Racing. Brett, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure everyone listening will really enjoy the conversation that we are about to have. So Brett, first start off just by telling us a little bit about, who you are and what you do.
Sure. First, let me just thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. Really happy to the U.S., but in 2009, my wife and I moved to rural Tanzania to do holistic community development work with a church. We worked in agriculture, and my wife did work in water sanitation and hygiene. We did that for several years, and after 6 years, we started working for a few NGOs in the nonprofit world here in the development sector in Tanzania, and I began even training government extension officers in agriculture. And essentially, you know, over time, I guess we're 15 years in now in Tanzania. Eventually, I started an adventure racing company that accomplishes good in Tanzania. So that's kind of where we are now, funding community development work through endurance races.
Okay, yeah. And so tell us more about that. So, this program is called Red Knot Racing. So tell us a little bit more about the operations, the programming that you run, and how that drives that sort of social impact, that community development work that it supports.
Sure. Yeah. So I started Red Knot Racing Company in 2013. And essentially a good friend of mine in the US asked me, if you could do anything in the world, what would you be doing? I said, I'd be doing exactly what I'm doing here in Tanzania, assisting rural Tanzanians, resource poor smallholder farmers, essentially with livelihoods projects, but I would be funding it myself rather than asking donors for money. And hilly climbs here in Tanzania, so that we kind of understood the local systems for travel and tourism. We gained the networks that we needed and also the money we needed in order to start some races. And we started our first race in 2018. That is a 5-day mountain bike stage race from Mount Kilimanjaro to Lake Natron. And now at this point, we own 3 large international races based in the Kilimanjaro area. And we also create and organize races for other companies who want to hold events here in Tanzania. So our 3 events are this Kilimanjaro to Natron mountain bike race, which is a 5-day. We also have a weekend of trail running races on Kilimanjaro, up to about 4,000 meters on the mountain. And those races go from 10 kilometers up to half and full marathon with 3 different ultra marathon distances up to 75K. And then we've also got a weekend festival that has 12 races over a full weekend with live music and food vendors and kind of a big family festival, mountain bike races, as well as trail running races. That's called Kilimanjaro Trails Festival. And the company works in conjunction and cooperation with Red Knot Development, which is our 501c3 nonprofit in the US. And so that's kind of our mechanism for doing development work. We put profits into the 501c3, and then that's where we do our community development from.
Okay, awesome. And so is it like the funds that you raise through Red Knot Racing that goes toward development, or do the athletes participate in that, some of that development work, or how exactly does that relationship work between those two organizations, or the two entities?
Yeah, there are a number of ways that we're raising funds to do development work. And so one of those is the profits from the races. A portion of those profits do go into the development work. 2% of all of our revenue goes into development work. The 5-day mountain bike race, 50% of all the profits go into the development work. But we also encourage our athletes to raise funds for the development work itself. And so we generally have 3 projects going at a time that our athletes can choose to raise money for. And that's one way we get money in. And then we've also got some donors who have just decided we'd like to, to continue to support, even monthly pledges and contributions to support the work we do. I guess the last mechanism for finances on the development side of things is we've got a couple of grants to accomplish some of our work now as well. So we're really bringing that money in a number of ways. But ideally, by design, the races will fund the scaling of the development long-term, mm-hmm. so that it's a financially sustainable program.
Okay. And part of Red Knot Racing is that it's on a mission to help athletes shoulder the responsibility of caring for both neighbors and the planet that we share. So I'm just wondering if there's any sort of relationship between Red Knot Racing and the athlete in terms of do you do work with them to help raise awareness of the issues that they're raising these funds for? Like, do you help educate the athletes to create the change, or is it how are you empowering athletes to be able to do to do these things?
Yeah. So what the way I'm viewing this is, a lot of what we do is based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that?
Yep.
This idea that, so once we've met our physiological needs, then we we have our, you know, our needs for health and employment and love and belonging. And so, you know, some people ask, well, okay, you're doing agriculture development, but you're also doing sports. How are those related? And we kind of see those, you know, along the spectrum of we meet people where they are, and we help them solve the problems that you know, that they're dealing with at that moment in their lives. And so kind of interesting to me is that when you get to the top of that hierarchy of needs and you reach self-actualization, this idea that you're reaching your full potential and you're really living life and it's all it should be or all it can be. And I feel like international runners and cyclists, that's kind of their life. That's their best life. That's what they're living. And the next step beyond self-actualization that doesn't show up in all the hierarchies you look at online or in textbooks, but is this idea of transcendence. And the idea being that, you know, you've got this even higher inclusive level of consciousness, and it involves how you relate to the rest of humanity and nature, and kind of what you believe, or maybe more important than what you believe, how you act, acting as if there's something bigger than yourself. And so that's when you begin to look beyond your own personal needs and desires, and you start to focus on something greater, maybe altruistic goals, maybe a sense of connection to something larger than yourself or to other people that you wouldn't have been connected. Is when we have these self-actualized athletes who are looking for their best experience. Kilimanjaro experienced some incredible trail running, high altitude running, you know, in a really, in that process, they're able to act out their passion in such a way that it accomplishes good in the lives of others. And so we do probably better in some races than in others, but we push a lot of interaction with local people. Of course, everyone who's working with us is local. The 5-day mountain bike race, we live in the bush every night. I mean, it's a point to point race, and every night we've set up a bush camp out in rural Tanzania, and we're in contact with people, and we're cycling right through, you know, where they're taking their cattle out for grazing, and cycling past their small bomas and homesteads. And I like to push that connection, that we're connecting athletes through their passion to others who are less fortunate in some ways than they are, and then we're making a difference in their lives through that connection.
That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about you were talking there, like how, you know, some of the international cyclists or trail runners potentially have, you know, sort of reached that very top of the hierarchy of needs, and that they're, you know, and then that, you know, being participating in the sport in that way is that, you know, is meeting that top tier. So that was interesting to hear you saying that. And I think, you know, when I think about it, I do think you're right. And that, you know, that does give people a lot more capacity to be able to give back and contribute and, to tackle some of these bigger problems, that are facing, you know, communities in their home, but also communities around the world. So it is interesting that you talk about this. So I'm curious to know why you think, sport, like, why did you pick sport to help with this? You know, I think you kind of started talking about that a little bit, but why was sport a way for you to be able to raise funds? Like, why do you think that sport is so impactful in terms of helping you to sustain the Red Knot development programs?
I think part of my shift, it wasn't a shift from agriculture development to sport, but rather it was the addition of sport and youth development to agriculture is really what happened. And much of that came about because I realized the longer I was here in Tanzania, people doing development work, they often think in terms, of months or years. And sometimes you'll have a contract. It's a 3-year contract to affect change. and bring about positive impacts in others' lives. And 3 years is not very long to do that. And the longer I've been here, the more I've realized a lot of the change that we'd really like to see happen, and the change that communities here want to see happen, it's going to be generational in the way that change is brought about. And it's not going to happen in a 3-year contract or a 5-year development project or program, but rather it's going to be generational. And so one of the shifts I wanted to make after I'd been here in country working with farmers for 10, 12 years was I'd really like to be investing more in youth. And what do the youth need? How can we help the youth live their best lives? And some of that is basic education around hygiene or around making good choices. Kind of what we've said is, well, we could do this through sport, and that way we could offer skills, trainings, life skills programs through sport. And then additionally, when the kids get to a level where they're seeking to be the best they can be, they can accomplish that through sport as well. And so to some extent, that was kind of a natural flow from farmers I was working with to wanting to work with youth that involves sport, and therefore we can bring sport in terms of tourism. But also part of it is just my fascination with the integration of experiences, which seem perhaps to be unrelated, like passions or interests that people have, and they don't seem to be related, but somehow when they come together, they create something really special and unique. And in my life, I was passionate about agriculture, and I was also passionate about sport, particularly long distance running and cycling. Those are things I've always done and been involved in. And I kind of just became fascinated with the idea of trying to integrate the two in some way. And of course, I don't think the ideas are completely unrelated, in that if what we're really looking to do is to help communities be healthy and whole, then it makes perfect sense that you would address food security and nutrition, and then also discipline and teamwork, and looking at sport as a means for gaining health and or improving health and gaining fitness. But yeah, then the tourism aspect is I guess what seems unrelated. And part of that for me was even just a change of scenery a bit. I'd worked in rural villages, and I was sleeping in villages and spending time with farmers, and I was really seeing a lot of good come out of our work. At the same time, I was starting to burn out a bit on what I was doing. And for me, a little bit just being able to turn my mind towards a 5-day mountain bike race for 3 or 4 weeks a year and focus on that was kind of the reset that I needed to go back and help people again. And it's almost like a miniature vacation for me. Yet I realized, hey, I can do this for athletes. I can provide them with a unique experience, and they can provide us with some funds to scale our community work. And really, it's a win-win for everyone involved, especially when we start talking about higher level sports development within Tanzania. And we're doing that now with cycling. Some of the best, cyclists in Tanzania train in some of our youth programs. And so now we're seeing our cyclists are racing in that 5-day stage race and winning it the last couple of years in a row. And so now, it's truly integrated, and it's kind of unique the way that's worked.
Okay, yeah, that's amazing. And I think you touched on something really important there, kind of at the beginning when you were talking, in terms of those 3-year cycles, or those 3-year grants that come from whether philanthropic foundations or funding from governments. But then when the government changes, priorities change, and then that funding that you're in before might change. But yeah, so I think it's a really important topic that is facing a lot of kind of nonprofits and like where that kind of funding goes. And you know, obviously it's, you know, the funding is for this 3 years, but the impacts that, you know, we want to be seen, that, you know, the work that needs to be done to have those impacts actually take hold in the community have to be much longer term than just a, you know, 1, 2, or 3 year program. It has to be much, much longer than that. So I think it's really encouraging to hear you talk about that and how you face that in your programming and how you've sort of considered it and are tackling that challenge. So I think it's really important for, you know, not just sport organizations, sport not-for-profits, sport development programs, but, you know, kind of all not-for-profits and development programs too. But so that's really interesting. And then kind of at the end there, when you're talking about your youth development programs and using sport to help develop those youth and helping, you know, the sports sector, I guess, also develop in Tanzania, I think is also really incredible and how you're sort of, you know, combining all these different things together to, you know, to help fund, you know, your agricultural projects and then help funding youth development, but also helping develop the sport system in Tanzania itself. I think it's all really quite interesting and really impactful and really powerful that you can actually do this work. So I think it's an important thing too, because sometimes when we think about nonprofits and the work that they're doing, it's very grassroots level, which is very important. But then, you know, sometimes, you know, there is that other aspect of sport that, you know, is competitive, that is, you know, trying to get to the next level. And so how, you know, how can we help build that up as well through these sport for development programs, I think is important for us to be thinking about too. So, yeah, that's really great, Brett. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I think that's kind of all the main questions I had, but I do like ending off with this one question is, what do you believe the power of sport is?
Power of sport. I think lately the way I've been thinking through this is that sport is, it's just one of the best ways in which you can experience personal growth, but do that within community. It's obviously there are individual sports and team sports, but all of that aside, I mean, the fact that just a couple of weeks ago I was working on a 5-day running race here in Tanzania, and it was amazing to see that you've got this 220-kilometer run over 5 days, and I think 1/3 of the 65 runners present, you know, and participating in this event had never run an ultra marathon, and here it is, they're going to run 220 kilometers over 5 days. Their longest day is an ultra marathon. It's a 60K run. And you've got all of these people pushing themselves to accomplish something more than they've ever accomplished before. So you've got this aspect of personal growth, but to see that done within the context of relationships and community, I think that's what sport does. It provides this community and relationship. And within that event or race or team or game, you know, everyone's agreed to play by these rules and everyone's agreed to participate together in this thing. And I think that's the power of sport, personal growth done in community.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Fred. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you once again to Brett for coming on the podcast and talking about the work that Red Knot Racing and Red Knot Development are doing. My key takeaways from this episode, I think the first one is that I think, you know, when I talk about sport for development on this program, it is really just trying to take that focus away from, you know, competitive sport and sort of that bigger built sports, international sports system. But Brett, and even the previous episode with Ryan from Youth Tennis in San Diego, it reminded me that these programs can still fit into that broader sports system, making sure that we are building those pathways, that we are connecting these young people who do want to go onto that, onto competition and, national competition or anything like that, making sure that we are providing those opportunities as part of these programs. And building up those sports systems can be part of sports development programs. But I think, it is just important to keep in mind the real focus is on community development. And obviously there are opportunities that come through sport, or, developing up the sports systems. But that was just a reflection that I had from the last two episodes that I think is interesting, because I do try to not talk about those things as much. But and so the second impact, I think, is, or the second key takeaway from this episode is that change and impact take a lot longer than just, 1, 2, 3 years, as we talked with Brett. Some of those funding models, whether from, grants, donations, or government funding, they often dry up when the government changes or when priorities change. So it's not necessarily always that reliable, and it changes. So it is important to think about that long-term longevity, that longevity of these programs. How can we make sure that these programs are going on for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, providing that support, providing those opportunities longer term, because that is really how that impact becomes more institutionalized, how it becomes more permanent, how it that's how the impact is seen more. Interesting to hear Brett talk about that too, because obviously this is something that we do talk about, but not necessarily kind of in that 2-3 year time frame. We just hear about that funding is always a problem. Kind of think about that more longevity piece. So that is it for this episode. Thank you everybody for listening, and we will talk with you next time.